Start.
Okay, good morning, everybody. This week we are learning Brachos Daf Nun. Daf HaShavua is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and Elmo Construction, as well as Bagel Munch. We continue, we are almost at the end of the seventh parak of Mesachas Brachos, talking about Zimun. And last week we concluded with the Mishnah, which talks about the Nusach of Zimun and perhaps how if different numbers of people are present at the Zimun, that perhaps the text of the Zimun should change, which we're familiar with 10, you say Elokeinu, but even perhaps if there's 100 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people, that the Nusach of Zimun should change. And the Gemara is going to talk more about that Nusach. What I found interesting is that when the Mishnah is talking about the Nusach of Zimun and what the words should be for Zimun, the Gemara and the Mishnah are talking from the very end of what we call Zimun. So the Gemara doesn't mention anything about Rabbi Osai Nevarech. We're all talking about the very end of the Nevarech Shachalna Mishalo, Baruch Shachalna Mishalo, Tevoch Hayinu, Baruch Shachalna Mishalo, Tevoch Hayinu. That's what the different girtzos of, or the different nusachs that are brought down in our Mishnah are talking about. Rabbi Osai Nevarech is really not mentioned anywhere in Chazal whatsoever. It's brought down, Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Zohar, that Rabbi Osai Nevarech comes from the Zohar, that it's to kind of prepare yourself, like a hazmana, like a hachana before the mitzvah, to mentally prepare yourself before doing the mitzvah. And the Aruch HaShulchan elaborates that really before every mitzvah we're supposed to prepare ourselves mentally, and that's what the Berachas HaMitzvah is for. You have a bracha before you do a mitzvah to get you in the zone for that mitzvah. And for benching, you don't have a bracha before the benching, because benching is a bracha. There's no Berachas HaMitzvah al Berachas HaMazon. So that's why the Zohar says over here specifically you should have a Rabbi Osai Nevarech to get yourself in the zone as a hachana before this mitzvah.
That's why we usually have like Kinyan Mukham
Mazuma. The Nodav Yehuda is very against the Shem Yichud, because he says that's what the bracha is for. So everybody says Shem Yichud is to get you in the mindset. He's like, we have a bracha that's supposed to do that. So if there's no bracha, then you should have some sort of other hakana. But there's of course other opinions in the Arizal about saying the Shem Yichud and how it's a very important thing to do. But yeah, so perhaps this is a similar thing. Or Rosh Hashanah is a very similar idea. So the Gemara is talking about over here, the Gemara in the very bottom of Mem Tesmid Beis, is now talking about whether you should say, as we said in the Mishnah, that if you have three people, then you should say Nivarech, meaning Nivarech, Shacham, Mishalo. And perhaps if you have three Vihu, if you have four people, so I'm leading the Zimun, and there are three people even besides me, then I don't have to say Nivarech, that we should bless Hashem. I can even say Barchu, that you guys, even without me, I'm number four, even without me, Barchu, you guys can also bless Hashem, because you're a Zimun even without me. So perhaps if it's three Vihu, if it's you and three other people, then perhaps you can say Barchu instead of Nivarech. And the Gemara asks on that assumption. Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, La'olam al yotzi adam es atzmo min haklal. Shmuel says you should never remove yourself from the group. And so therefore you shouldn't say Barchu, that you guys should bless Hashem. You should say Nivarech, that we should all bench and bless Hashem together. So Tnan b'shlosha v'hu amar Barchu. Problem is that our Mishnah says that Shlosha Vahu, if it's four people, then you say Baruch Hu. According to Shmuel, you should never say Baruch Hu. You should always say Nivarech, that we're all going to bless Hashem. So, Ema Af Baruch Hu. Maybe rather the Mishnah meant that you could also say Baruch Hu, that they both work. Nivarech works and Baruch Hu works. But Mikol Makom Nivarech Adith. But really, it's better to just always say Nivarech, not to say, oh, it's four of us, we could say Baruch Hu. No, it's better to say Nivarech. Baruch Hu also works, but Nivarech is really preferred. Da'amar of Ada bar Ava, Amri bei Rav, Tanina, it says, Vav nechlokin ad yud. If you have a group of six people, you can break up into two groups of three. Seven, you can break up into three and four. Same for moving forward. Until you get to 10, you can't break apart, because if you have 10, you can say Elokeinu, which is a great thing to do. If you break into different groups of Zimun, then you lose that opportunity to say Shem Hashem. So up to 10, you shouldn't. But let's talk about 6. You have a group of 6, and it says, Nechlak, and you're allowed to split up into different groups. Well, wait a second. If I'm 6, we can say Baruch Hu, because we're more than 3. And if we split up into different groups, 3 and 3, then we can only say Nevarech. So, Iyamar Peshlama Nevarech Adif. If you say that the Nevarech is the preferred Lashon, so Mishum Hachi, Nechlak, and that's why you're allowed to split up into different groups when you're 6, because you can all say Nevarech still. Aliyamar Baruch Hu Adif, Amai Nechlak. If Baruch Hu is really better, then why would you say that you should split up? If you're a group of 6, you can say Baruch Hu. If you split up, you're not going to be able to say Baruch Hu anymore. You're only going to have groups of 3. El Alav, Shmamina, Nevarech, Adish, Shmamina. We see that Nevarech is perhaps better or perhaps equal. There's definitely no maila to saying the lashon of baruch when you have four people, and it's even brought down in the Shulchan Aruch that you could say baruch if you want to, but it's not preferred. It's definitely better. You're still yotze if you say baruch, but it's definitely better, the Zemar concludes, to say nevarech instead of baruch. Tanya nami hachi. A support for this says in the Braisa, Bein she'amar baruchu, Bein she'amar nevarech, Ein topsa noso alkach. Whether you say baruchu or you say nevarech, we're not going to stop you. They're both totally okay. V'ha'nekdanin topsin oso alkach. The nekdanin. Rashi says nekdanin are people that are davkunin. They're very meduyuk. They're very, very careful about what everybody says. The Mesrus HaShas on the sides is a very funny lesson. Ha'medaktik shelo b'davar tzorech. People who are medactic about things that don't actually matter. We all know people who are medactic about things that don't actually matter. So people who are like, oh, you said baruch hu. No, you have to say nevarich. Now, you could say baruch hu if you're still yotze if you say baruch hu, but you shouldn't. You should really say nevarich because, as we said, you shouldn't be motzi atzmo min haklal. You should say that we're all going to bless Hashem. The Tosfos point out that we say baruch hu in davening. We say baruch hu Hashem hamivorach. But there it's different because after I say baruch hu that you guys should bless Hashem, I also say Hashem hamivorach. So I'm also blessing Hashem. So in that context, it's not a problem. But by us to say baruch hu is to remove yourself from the klal, would perhaps be inappropriate. The Gemara now goes through various lashonos of what we have as part of our zimun and what the correct thing is to say and what the incorrect thing is to say. From the way that someone makes a bracha, from the lashon of their zimun, you can tell if they're a talmid chacham or if they're not a talmid chacham. Ketzad, Rebbe Omer uvtuvo. Hareze Talmud Chacham, Ume Tuvo, Hareze Bor. If you say, Uf Tuvo Chayinu, then you're a Talmud Chacham, that's the appropriate thing to say, that Hashem, that with His greatness, we live our lives, you're a Talmud Chacham, that's the appropriate thing to say. But Ume Tuvo, Hareze Bor. You're being a fool if you say, Ume Tuvo, that it's from Hashem's greatness. What's the problem of saying, Me Tuvo? Rashi says, Me Tuvo sounds like Hashem has all this great Tuvo. He has all this great stuff to give us, and Me Tuvo, from that, He gives us a portion. He shares some of what He has to offer, and that's kind of diminishing the amazing things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, so you shouldn't say Me Tuvo. The Maharsha says that Me Tuvo sounds like, for example, for a person to give over something, if I lend you $100, I now have $100 less than I used to have. I'm giving up from what I have. I now have less. And to say that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it sounds like you're saying, Me Tuvo, Hashem is giving some of His greatness, and now Hashem has less greatness for Himself, which is just obviously not true of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you shouldn't be saying, Me Tuvo. You should rather say, Uv Tuvo. But David HaMelech says, you should bless me from your bracha. Isn't David HaMelech diminishing the capabilities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us full bracha? Mara says, no, b'she'ela shiny. When you're asking Hashem for things, you shouldn't say, Hashem, give me everything. No, you should say, mi birkascha. When you're thanking Hashem after the fact, thank Hashem for the fact that He gave you all that He felt was appropriate. But when you're asking, you shouldn't be asking for too much. So you should say, something like, mi tuvo, like mi birkascha, when you're asking for things. But by benching, when you're finished eating, you should not say, mi tuvo, you should say, bituvo. But even by asking, make requests, it also seems like you should say that Hashem should give you everything. Because it says, Hashem says, Hashem says you should widen open your mouth and I will fill you up completely. It sounds like Hashem is saying, I'm going to give you everything. Feel free, feel comfortable to ask everything from me. Mara says, no, a very powerful line, Hahu b'divrei Torah k'siv. That's true about Inyanei Torah. By Divrei Torah, by Talmud Torah, then you can ask for everything. For other things, when you're making bakal, you should ask for mi birkascha, only for a fraction. You shouldn't ask for too much. By Talmud Torah, you should ask for everything. There's a beautiful line from Rav Moshe in the Hakdama to Igros Moshe Chelek Ches, where they have like a biography of Rav Moshe in the beginning of the Sefer. A line from Rav Moshe, how when it comes to things in life in general, you should realize what your physical constraints are and what your capabilities are. You shouldn't dream beyond what you're physically capable of. If you're not good at science, don't dream and dive into be a doctor. If you should be aware of what your strengths are. If you're a weak person, so don't dive into be a construction worker. You should realize what you're capable of and not try to go beyond your limits, except for Talmud Torah. People shouldn't think, oh, I'm only capable of doing X and Hashem help me do X. No, Hashem help me be Masayim, more Masechtos. Learn more, even more than I think that I'm currently capable of. When it comes to Talmud Torah, the sky is the limit. You shouldn't limit yourself by what you think you're capable of. You should ask for even more, even more, even more. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Bituvo Chayinu, Hariz Talmud Chacham. Another lashon. If you say Bituvo Chayinu, that's Talmud Chacham, as we say. But if you say Chayim, Hariz Bor. If you say Chayim, again, you're not saying Chayinu, where Hashem helps our lives. You're saying Chayim, Hashem helps people's lives in general, but you're excluding yourself. That's a bore. That's an inappropriate thing to say. Nahar Balai, Masni Ibcha, Balai Sochasa, Ka Nahar Balai. Nahar Balai said the reverse, that Chayim is better than and Chayinu is bad, but we don't pass him like Nahar Balai. We say, no, as we say, Bituvo Chayinu, and don't say Bituvo Chayim. Amar Rav Yochanan, Mevarech she'achalnu mishalo, harei ze tamid chacham, lemi she'achalnu mishalo, harei ze bor. If you say, as we say, Mevarech she'achalnu mishalo, that's the appropriate thing to say mi she'achalnu mishalo, that the one who gave me to eat this time, that's inappropriate, because as Rashi says, it sounds like there are multiple sources of food that you have, and this time you got from that one, but other times you'll go, somebody else is going to support you. It sounds maybe like you're referring to the Baal Bayis, or perhaps that there are other sources of your needs besides the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is of course inappropriate, so you shouldn't say just say she'achanu mishalo. It's understood. Hashem is the one who provides for us and supports us. Amalei Rav Acha Brei De Rava Le Rav Ashi V'ha Amrinan L'misha Asanit Alav Osinu La V'lanu Es Kol Anisim Ha'elu. That's a lesson from the end of Magid, at the end of Magid, at the night of the Seder, where we say L'misha Asalav Osinu V'lanu Es Kol Anisim Ha'elu, to the one who performs miracles for us. Isn't that saying L'mi? Isn't that like saying L'misha Achan L'misha Lo? Shouldn't that be a problem? It's like other people also give us miracles. No, Amalei Hasamuch Chamilsa Man Adid Nisi Kochabrichu. There you're saying the one who gave us miracles, but only one person gives us miracles. That's obvious. So it's clear who you're talking about. When you say Lamisha Achan Mishalo, it sounds like maybe it's referring to the Baal Abayis who provided you for the food this time, and that of course would be, it's not clear who you're talking about, so you shouldn't say Lami, but to say Lami by the night of the Seder is not a problem, because it's clear you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar of Yochanan, Baruch Shachal Mishalo, Harei Zeh Talmud Chacham, Al HaMazon Shachalnu, Harei Zeh Bor. If you say Al HaMazon for the food that he gave us, that's inappropriate. Perhaps the Tosafot say that's referring to, it sounds like you're talking about the Baal Abayis who gave you this food this time. The Rif says it sounds like you're praising the food, like you're blessing the food, that the thanks for filling me up, bagel lunch. But you should really be saying, thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you shouldn't say Al HaMazon, you should say Des Shachalnu Mishalo. Amar Avuna, Breder of Yeshua, Lo Amran Ella Begimel, Deleka Hashem Shemayim. That's only true when you're with only a group of three and you're not going to say the Shem Hashem explicitly in your Zimun. Then it's confusing and you just say Al Hamazon, well, who are you talking about? But Aval Asara, Teik Hashem Shemayim, when you're a group of 10, you're saying Nevarech Elokeinu Shachan Mishalo, so then you're saying Hashem's name, so it's clear who you're talking about. Mukha Chamosa, it's clear who you're talking about. As you say, Kedetnan, Kenyan Shehu Mevarich, Kach Onan Acharav, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Elokei HaTzvakos, Yoshev HaKrovim, Al HaMazon She'achalnu. Our Mishnah had the various different Lashonos you're going to use if you're 10 people, or 100 people, or 1,000 people, or 10,000 people, and when you have 10,000 people, there's this long lesson that you say that you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of the universe, etc., and you say, Al HaMazon She'achalnu Mishalo. Isn't it a problem to say Al HaMazon? How could that be the girsa of our Mishnah? When you have 10,000 people, you should say Al HaMazon? No, there it's clear, because you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu explicitly, so you're allowed to say Al HaMazon. So too, if you have 10 people, and you say Al HaMazon, it's not going to be a problem. Only when you have 3, and you're not saying Hashem's name explicitly, then there's this concern of saying Al HaMazon, that perhaps it's a bit too vague. Okay, so those are the different girsos that we have for our Zimun. Nuschos. Echad Asrei v'Echad Asara, Echad Asara Ribo. So our Mishnah had said, as we pointed out, that there are different lashonos you should use if you're alone, if you're with 3 people, or 10 people, or 100 people, or 1,000 people, etc., or 100,000 people. So Hagufa Kasha, the Mishnah itself had an internal stira, it's a contradiction within itself. Amart Echad Asara v'Echad Asara Ribo, whether you're 10 people or 100,000 people, you should say the same lashon. First, our Mishnah had said, you always say the same thing. No matter what, you always say the same exact lashon of Zimun, you don't change a word. Ma'alma ki hadadininu. It's always going to be the same exact nusa. You're going to say the same words for Zimun every single time. But then it says, Bahadar Katani, Bemeya Omer, Be'elef Omer, Be'ribo Omer. You should say a different lashon if you're 100 or 1,000 or 10,000. So is it always the same, or does it depend on how many people are there? So Amar Rav Yosef, Lo Kasha, Har Rav Yosi Haglili, Har Rabbi Akiva. It's a machlokes. Ditzlan. Rav Yosi Haglili, in our own Mishnah, it says at the end of our Mishnah that they disagree about the following. Rav Yosi Haglili Omer, Lefi Rov Hakal, Hei Mevarchim, Shenemar Bemakelos, Baruchu Elokim. When Rav Yosi Haglili, the lashon is going to change based on how many people are there. based on the makhelos, Baruch Hu Elokim, when you're makhelos, when you're in assembly with a lot of people, that's going to impact the bracha you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Akiva says no, as it continues, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Mama Asinu Bebeis HaKnesses V'chulei. Rabbi Akiva says no, you always have the same lashon, just like in shul, we always say Baruch Hu Hashem Mavorach. We don't change the lashon in shul, whether you're 10 people or 100 people, so to Zimun, it shouldn't change whether you're 10 people or 100 people or even more. So it's a stira in our Mishnah, but the answer is it's just two different opinions in our Mishnah, whether it should change or whether the Nusach should always be the same. Rabbi Akiva, high crowder of Yosef Lili, my Abidle. What does Rabbi Akiva learn from that pasuk, the Makelos Baruch Hu Elokim, that we bless Hashem in groups? So what exactly is that referring to? According to Rabbi Akiva, that pasuk isn't used for anything. Rabbi Yosef Lili says that pasuk teaches us you should have a different lashon if there are different people there. Rabbi Akiva, what's that pasuk going to teach me? So me boy lele kidetanya, as it's needed for what you say in the following brisa. Hayri Meir Omer, minayin shafilu uberin shabemei iman amru shira. What's the source of the fact that even the fetuses and that were in the mother's womb, they also sang Shira by Kriyas Yamsuf? What's the source for that? Shenamar, the Makelos Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem Mimekor Yisrael. If they all bless Hashem Mimekor Yisrael, that Makelos is referring to everybody, even the Ubar Shemei Iman. And the Idach, and how does Yosef Lili learn that even the fetuses sang Shira at Kriyas Yamsuf? That mi makor nafka, he learns that from the word makor, that makor means can mean womb, and therefore that's how he learns that even the fetuses made sang Shira at Kriyas Yamsuf. It's a very fascinating thing that they even everyone has to have a pasuk to prove the fact that the fetus is also saying Shira Kriyas Yamsuf. The Rashba says that but the Gemara means not that they literally sang Shira, but it was even ra'i for the fetuses to sing Shira, because I think the Gemara Nida says that when a woman is scared, then she's likely to have a miscarriage, and presumably when you have all the mitzvim chasing behind you and you're surrounded by walls of water that feel like they can just collapse on you any second, so it's probably a very scary experience, and yet nobody had a miscarriage, and that's why it was appropriate for them to sing Shira. That's what the Gemara is getting at, that there is no miscarriages, and therefore it will be appropriate for even the Ubar to sing Shira. I heard a funny ha'ara from Rav Shechter. He quoted from Rav Yerucham Geralik that perhaps this is a source, I don't know what to do with this, perhaps this is a source for a niggun without words, because everybody else is singing a Shira and they're saying psukim as they sing Takadosh Baruch Hu, but the Ubar is near the erva of the mother, and they can't sing psukim. It's not you can't sing psukim in front of the erva. It must be they're singing no words. It must be they're singing a niggin. They're singing na 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 na. Whatever it is. Whatever you want to make with that. Amar Rava halacha Rabbi Akiva. Halacha zeh Rabbi Akiva that you should not change the lashon based on how many people are there. 10 is elokeinu, but beyond that, it's always going to be the same lashon whether you have 100 or 1,000, etc. Ravina and Rav Chama Barbuzi iklau lebei Reish Galusa. Ravina and Rav Chama Barbuzi went to the Reish Galusa to eat a meal. Come Rav Chama v'kamahader arbei meya. Rav Chama went to go get 100 people to go make zimun together so they can use the specific lashon for 100 people. Amale Ravina lo tzrichasachi. You don't have to do that because Amar Rava halacha Rabbi Akiva, the halacha Rabbi Akiva that with 100 it's the same nusach as with 10 people. No need to go gather. Imagine trying to gather 100 people to make a zimun. It's probably very difficult. Don't sweat it. 10 people are the same thing. We pass like Rabbi Akiva. You're just going to say elokeinu even if you have 100 people. Amar Rava ki achlinan rifta beirish galusa mevarchinan gimel gimel. And they would eat by the Reish Galusa. There was a big meal at the Reish Galusa. A lot of people were there, but they would split up into groups of threes as opposed to being in the large communal Zeman. As we're going to explain in the following. Valivrechu Yud Yud. Why didn't they just make a Zimun in groups of 10 as opposed to groups of 3? You have 100 people at the meal, and they're breaking up into groups of 3. They're going to lose the opportunity to say Elokeinu. Why don't they break up into groups of 10? So no, Shama Reish Galusa Ve'ikbid. And the Reish Galusa would hear that everybody is breaking up into sections at his meal. He'd be very insulted, and it would be inappropriate. So that's why they didn't break up into groups of 10. Groups of 10, he's going to hear that everybody's making their own mini Zimuns. They didn't want to insult him. So instead, they broke up into groups of 3 where he wouldn't be able to hear them, and that's why they sacrificed the Elokeinu. But the obvious question is, why break up into groups at all? Just be involved in the communal zimun that everyone's going to make at the Reish Galusa's table. So, I did the avshu kuleyama lo shami. Since it's there are a lot of people there, and a lot of people are talking, and it's hard to hear, you're not going to be able to hear the person who's leading the zimun. If you can't hear the person making the zimun, you're not going to be yotze at the zimun, so therefore they had to split up into different groups. There's a discussion about whether you can use a microphone to hear the Zimun. In general, microphones are a shayla. But by Zimun, there's a reason perhaps to be makel, because you're not being motzi someone in Zimun. So that the Shevet HaLevi says that it shouldn't be a problem using a microphone for Zimun, because it's not like you're being mosi someone in a bracha. You're just trying to be mitzari people to get people together, to band people together, to make a bracha, and that's still accomplished with a microphone as well. But Rabbi Yashav says you should not use a microphone. I think in general it's better to not use a microphone if you can find a guy who has a really loud voice. Definitely better to do that. Because in general, we like to hear the microphone. It may not be the official voice. Technically, it's not the voice of the person. It's really the particles that are being created by the microphone.
That, like, for Megillah,
right?
There, you're allowed to use a microphone.
And so Rav Moshe has a tshuva, I think, specifically by Megillah, maybe an Abdallah, where a microphone would be okay. Others, I think, are not okay with it. So I think it's a big shavla in general. But yeah, there are times when you rely on it. Other contexts, but over here it seems like if you don't need to, it's definitely better not to, because it's better to hear the person's voice, as you say over here. But so what we have over here, we have the case of everybody's eating together, and they're going to break up into groups of three. So how can they break up into groups of three? Because they're going to embarrass the Reish Galusa if they break up into groups of 10. So really, they can't hear, if they all bench together, they're not going to hear each other, so they're not going to be Yotzei Zimun, so they can't do it all together in one big Zimun. Why don't they do it in groups of 10? Oh, that's going to be so loud, it's going to insult the Reish Galusa. He's going to hear everyone making their own individual Zimuns. It's going to be embarrassing, it's going to be insulting to him. Therefore, they can't do groups of 10, so therefore, they don't say Elokeinu, and instead they break into groups of three. So because you're going to insult somebody, you're going to lose out on the opportunity to say Elokeinu. Since when does somebody's personal feelings matter in halacha? The answer is that is the case. Personal feelings do matter in halacha, as we had in Daf Yates. That's what the Rashba explains over here. The reason why they're able to sacrifice their Elokeinu and not break into groups of 10 because it's going to embarrass Yesh Kalusa is because Kavod Abrios is a very important thing, and to embarrass Yesh Kalusa would be inappropriate. That's going to override this din to Rabbanon of saying Elokeinu at the Zeman. Amar Rabba Tosfa'a, Hani Gimel Tekarchi Rifta Bahadi Adadi, Bekadim Chad Minayu Ubarach Ledaite. If three people are eating together, they all have bread together, and one person benched by himself, Enun and Afgin Bezimun Dide. The two remaining people can still make a Zimun and use him for the Zimun. But ihu lo nafik bizimun de tu. But he can't be yotzei anymore. But as I said earlier, lafi she'ein zimun lemafreya, you can't be yotzei zimun lemafreya after you've already done the. After you've already benched, you can't do Zimun after the fact, but they can use you, they can rely on you. So if you have a group of three people, and one guy benches early, so you don't say, oh shoot, we lost the Zimun, two people can be Mezamin with him, and he has to just help them be Yotzei the Mitzvah, but he himself can't be Yotzei anymore. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rafram Bar Papa, Ikla Lebe Kenishta, Ta Abe Gibar, and Kam Kara V'Safra V'Amar, Barchu Es Hashem V'Ishtik V'Lo Amar Hamid Vorach. So our Mishnah had said it's a machlokas whether when you say Baruchu in davening, whether you have to say Baruchu es Hashem Hamid Vorach, or you could just say Baruchu es Hashem. And there's a story where Rav from Bar Papa went to the shul of Abi Gibar, and he went and he started reading from the Torah, and he said Baruchu es Hashem, and he didn't say Hamid Vorach. Avshu Kulei Alma, Baruchu es Hashem Hamid Vorach. Everybody said, hey, you have to say Hamivorach. Right? Amar Rava, Pasya Ochma, Bahadi Plug Salamalacha. Why do you get the Pasya Ochma is a lesson of you're a black pot, which I think Rashi says in other places in Shas. It's actually a nice thing to say to somebody. But how come you're getting yourself involved in Machlokes? Everybody agrees that saying Hamivorach works. There's Machlokes. Some say you don't have to say Hamivorach. Why would you not say Hamivorach just to show that you could be like one Shita, say a lesson that everybody agrees to? Fa'od Hanah Galma Karbi Yishmael, also everyone agrees. Everyone acts like the Minhag is like Rabbi Yishmael, you should say Baruch Hu Hashem Hamivorach. So there's no need; it's inappropriate for you to say Baruch Hu Hashem without saying Hamivorach. So that's the discussions we had about the Nusach of Zimun and the breaking apart into groups of 10 or into groups of 3. And the Gemara now, the Mishnah now, is going to actually quote the halachos of when you're allowed to break up and when you can't break up. When you're eating together, when can you break up into smaller groups? And when, if you're a group of 3, can you not break up and not do Zimun at all? Because if you eat together and you have the opportunity to do Zimun and you break into different and you break apart from that and you bench on your own, you're not to do Zimun with everybody would be inappropriate. You're not allowed to split apart when you have an obligation to do Zimun. There's a very practical shaila that comes up that Rav Moshe talks about leaving weddings early. Everybody talks about leaving weddings early because when you get to the wedding, so you're chayiv in Zimun because you're in a group of a lot more than 10 people. A lot of people are there and everybody is eating together at the wedding, and you want to leave. You don't want to stay till all the way at the end of the Shavuot Brachos at the end of the wedding. So you want to leave early. So you only have two problems. On the one hand, maybe you're chayiv to do Shavuot Brachos because you add a meal at a wedding and you're obligated to be involved in Shavuot Brachos perhaps. And on the other hand, also you're as our Mishnah says, you have this obligation of Zimun. Once you eat at a meal with more than 3 people, more than 10 people, you have an obligation to be a part of Zimun. Are you allowed to leave the wedding early and bet on your own quietly? Don't you have an obligation to be involved in the Zimun? As our Mishnah is going to say in a second, Ein Rishon Nechalik, you're not allowed to split apart. So it's two questions. Can you leave without doing Sheva Brachos? Can you leave without doing Zimun? So for Sheva Brachos, some say that you're not chayav in Sheva Brachos until the end of the meal. So as long as you slip out before they start the Sheva Brachos part, then you're not gonna be obligated in Sheva Brachos. But others say no. As long as you're there from the beginning, then you are chayav in Sheva Brachos. So how are you able to leave early before being Yotzei Sheva Brachos and before being Yotzei the Zimun? So Rav Moshe's suggestion is as long as when you wash, you explicitly have in mind that you're not going to be joining everybody else at the meal, and you're going to be eating on your own, b'yichidus, then you're allowed to leave early. So you have to have that specific intention, and that separates you from the Zimun, and that also separates you from the Sheva Brachos, and that would be the way, according to Rav Moshe, to get around this issue of once you're eating together, don't you have to do a Zimun? No, if you explicitly have in mind before when you wash that you're not going to join in everybody else in the Zimun, then that would allow you to mention your own early and to leave without actually being involved in Davin and just mentioning the Yechidus without the Zimun. That's better. Yeah, so that would be better. It's better to have at least three. Usually it's like, I want to go home with my wife, and it's like, oh, but like to distract people together. Right. But yeah, so I think so, yeah.
You probably shouldn't get other people.
The problem is when you start getting more people and it's like a bizui to the wedding. It's like everybody like sees that like you're gathering like a group of 10 and like at some says, oh, should you perhaps get 10 people? You can make your own Sheva Brachos with Atachas and Kala. They'll do it later and you'll get your own table. And yeah. It's totally inappropriate. Everyone's gonna see you're doing it like you're singing, na 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 na. I was gonna hear you singing. It's like, that's not nice. So it's not, you shouldn't make a whole scene about it. But yeah, so maybe groups of 3 I think would be better. You're still sacrificing the asara, so I think it's better to have some sort of kavana that you're trying to separate. If you have the kavana and then you actually like, oh, actually I'm able to stay for the zimun, so I think you should really eat another kazayas. So that's our Chaim Kanievsky is quoted in the Dir Shuli. You should eat another kazayas with the group of people to, once you had in mind you're not going to be joining everybody for zimun, you can't just change your mind and say, actually, yeah, you have to eat another kazayas with everybody in order to do that. Okay, so the Mishnah says this yisod of separating gimel sha'achlu ka'achas einam mishal nechalik. Three people who eat together cannot separate because they have an obligation in zimun. If they bench on their own, they wouldn't be able to say zimun. They're not allowed to split up. V'chein dalet v'chein chamisha. Same thing. Vav mechlakin ad asara. As I said earlier, 6 people can split up into 2 groups of 3 or anything up until 8 or 9 people. You can always split up till you get to 10. 10, you have to stay together so you can make a elokeinu. V'asara ein mechlakin ad chaf. Once you have 20, you can break up into two groups of 10, because you can both say Elokeinu. Those are the halachos of breaking apart when you're chayiv and zimun. Shtei chaburos shahayu ochlos bevayis echad. If you have two groups of people eating in the same house, they're like at different tables, different sections of the house. Bezman shemiktsasam roan elu es elu, hari elu mitstarfin lezimun. If they can see each other, then they can join in for the zimun together. If they can't see each other, they should each do their own individual zimun. And finally, in mevarchin al hayayin at sheitein losochol mayim de Rabbi Eliezer, that you can't make a hagafen on wine until you dilute it with water first. Before you dilute it, the wine is so strong you can't make a hagafen on that. Well, you have to dilute water and then you can make the hagafen. Hachamim say no, you can still say hagafen even before you dilute it. We're gonna talk about that more on Amud Beis. Okay, so my kamash malan. What's the chiddush of our Mishnah? If you have 3 people eating together, you can't split apart. Tanina Chada Zimna, we taught that earlier in the first half of the parak. Anem, hey, Gimel Sha'achlu Ka'achas, Chayav and Lezamin. 3 people eat together, they have to make a Zimun. So obviously they can't split apart if they have a Chiyuv to do Zimun. What's the Chiddush of our Mishnah that it's adding that 3 people can't split apart? And that was already taught earlier in this parak. So how come, so you have 3 different answers to that question. Number one, Hakamash Malan, Kihadir Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Gimel Sha'yashvu Lechol Ka'achas, Va'adayin Lo Achlu, Einam Mishan Lechalik. If you have 3 people who ate together, Even if they haven't actually started eating, they still are not allowed to split up. Wow, 3 guys just eat together. They say, we're going to eat together. They still can't break apart. Even though they didn't actually start eating yet, they still can't break apart. They have an obligation to do Zimun. Bnei Yonah suggests, or quotes from someone, that maybe it means, even if you didn't actually make a hamotzi, just sitting together and saying you're going to have a kavias, you can't leave. About the Shulchan Aruch, passing like the other day, interviewing Bnei Yonah, that once you say a hamotzi, even if you haven't eaten a kazayas, but you said a hamotzi and you ate something, that obligates you in Zimun, you're not going to be allowed to split up. Lashna Achrina, a second answer what our Mishnah is teaching us. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Hachi Katani, Gimel Sheyasvu Lechol Ka'achas, three people who sat to eat together. Av Vishakol Echad Ve'echad Okal Mikikaro, and a Mishal Nechalik, even if they're all eating from their own loaves of bread, they can't split apart. That's, of course, also Paskin. You don't have to be sharing a piece of bread to bench to take Zimun. And if they're eating their own individual pieces of bread, they're not allowed to split up. They're obligated in Zimun. And the third answer, Inami Kiha de Rav Huna, the Amar Rav Huna, Gimel Sheba'o Me Gimel Chaburos, Einan Rishayin Lechalik. If you have three people who came from three different chaburos. So you have three different groups of people benching, and then one person from each of those groups, they each break off of their group, and they find two other guys who came from their own individual Zimun groups. So those three people who came from different chaburos can all do a Zimun together, even if they haven't actually eaten together. The fact that they had their own, I ate with a bunch of people, I have an obligation to do Zimun because I was in a group of three plus people. I leave and I see somebody else who also was with a group of people, and he had a chiyuv to do Zimun. We both find each other at a different table. Even if we don't have to actually eat together, the fact that we each have our own individual obligation, we're allowed to make a Zimun together. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. They're allowed to make a Zimun together, even if you didn't eat together, but you each ate in your own individual chaburos. And Amar Rav Chista, Bahu Shabo Migimel Chaburos Shal Gimel Bnei Adam. That's only, as we said, as long as the chabur that you came from has at least three people, so you had an obligation in your original chabura. So once you leave, you still have that obligation, and you can join with other people that you didn't even eat with. I'm a rabba. So as long as they can still make the Zimun. Right, you shouldn't be dishing someone, dishing the two behind. You should have a group of people that are before who can make their own Zimun. But Gemara now clarifies, Velo Amran El Delo Akdimu Hanach Va'azmun Alayu Biduchtayu. As long as the group that you came from hasn't done Zimun yet, Aval Azmun Alayhu Bedukhtayu Parach Zimun Minayu. But if the group that you came from, your original group, already did Zimun, and perhaps you were involved in that Zimun, then Parach Zimun Minayu, then your obligation for Zimun has left, and you can't join in someone else. So to review, you each in your own group of, you have a chabura, let's say four people, and you walk away, so they still can do their own Zimun. You walk away and you find some other guys and you want to do a Zimun with them. Mishnah says that the Chiddush of our Mishnah is you're allowed to join with them, and the Gemara now clarifies that's only if the original chabura didn't do Zimun yet. And there's two different explanations of what that means in the Rishonim. Rashi says that means that, let's say the group that you came from already did Zimun, let's say it was two people or three people, but then they called you in and they said, oh, can you answer with us? Maybe let's say they have two people and then they wanted you to answer with them. So you waited with them until they said through Hazan, and so you were involved in the original Zimun that you came from. So then you've already been yotze your obligation of Zimun, and you can't join somebody else and do a new Zimun. Right, a lot of groups of people, a lot of changing your chaburas when you're like, yeah, and I got in the cafeteria. So, but the other Rishonim say that even if you weren't there, so I walk away from my Zimun, I'm eating pizza at the pizza store, I'm at a table with a group of people, and we're all chayiv in Zimun, I walk away, and they did Zimun without me. I wasn't there, I didn't hear anything, I wasn't involved in the Zimun. That's what other Rishonim say, that actually also diffuses your obligation of Zimun. You've already lost your chayiv of Zimun, because the group that you came from already did Zimun, and you lost your opportunity to do Zimun again. You can't join in someone else's chabura. So that's an even a more stricter understanding of what the Mishnah is talking about. I think they're both Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that even if you weren't even there, the group that you were involved with made a Zimun, you wouldn't be allowed to just join somebody else. You'd have to then eat another Kezias with another group. So if you ate with a group of people and they benched without you, they did Zimun without you, you can't just go join somebody else and just be involved in their Zimun. You already lost your Chiyuv Zimun. If you want to join somebody else, you have to eat more with that other person. So this bit confusing case is perhaps what the Chiddush of our Mishnah is, saying that two people can't break apart. Yes, our Mishnah earlier already taught us you can't break apart, but here it's talking about this unique case. You also can't, you can join with other people, even if they weren't in your original chabura.
Even if you're not part of the three, you can always answer multiple times.
Right, yeah. Well, we had a Lashon earlier, I think Memhamah Beis, about what Lashon you should use if you weren't eating with them. So I think it's going to change. It's going to depend on whether you ate with them or not. It's going to change the lashon of what your answer is going to be. But yeah, so the chiddush of our Mishnah is that in a typical case, if the group that I came from didn't do Zimun yet, so the chiddush of our Mishnah is I ate with Erez and Bamzer at this table. And then I go to another table, and I don't have to eat with those other people. I can still be Yotze in their Zimun, as long as they haven't done their Zimun. Let's say they have a third guy also. They didn't do their Zimun yet. I can still be Yotze with someone else without eating with them. I don't have to eat with them. I have a Chiv of Zimun because I had a original table I came from. I can't just go. I'm allowed to go to somebody else. Even without eating with them, I can be Yotze with them as well. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. What we're adding now is if they did do Zimun without me, perhaps even if I didn't even hear their, I wasn't even involved in their Zimun, I can't just join with somebody else without eating. I have to then eat with them, with somebody else, to then be join their obligation to join their Zimun. Otherwise, the fact that the group that I came from did Zimun without me is going to diffuse my Chiv Zimun and Parach Zimun Alayo. I won't be able to do my own to the Zimun anymore.
So we're saying that the Chabura has the ability to basically propel you or disqualify you based on their
exactly reaction. Yeah. It's very powerful.
That's very interesting, yeah.
Yeah. The Gemara says, what's the source of the fact that once the group that you came from did Zimun, that your Chi of Zimun flies away, you can't do Zimun anymore? It says in the Mishnah, Mita she nignava chetzya o she'avda chetzya o she'chalkuha achin o shutfin tehora. If you have a bed that was tameh, and then it split into two different pieces. So maybe someone stole half of it, or you lost half of it, or two brothers were splitting it as Yerusha, and they broke it in half, or two Shutfin were together, and they split it in half, so it becomes Tahor. The halacha is by a Kli becomes Tameh. Once you break the Kli, it's now Tahor. So when you break the bed, it becomes Tahor. And Hechziruha, if they then put the bed back together, Mikabel es Tuma Mikanala Haba. It's now Mikabel Tuma moving forward, but Mikanala Haba in Lema Freya Lo. It lost the original Tuma that it initially had. It was Tameh. You broke it apart, it lost its Tumah. You put it back together, it doesn't just become Tameh again. That Tumah has Parach Minayu. It flew away. It's not Tameh anymore. It can only become Tameh again in the future. So Alma came into Palgua, Parach La Toma Mina. Since you broke the bed, the Toma went away. So Gemara makes the stretch comparison. Halchanami came into Azmun Olayhu, Parach Zimun Minayu. Since the original group that you were a part of made Zimun, therefore your Chiv Zimun left you. And even if you're going to go put the bed together, you're going to join two other people. And you have a new group of three. Your Chiv Zimun is not going to just magically come back. You'd have to eat more for that to happen. But otherwise, we say that your Chiv Zimun is gone, just like the Toma of the bed was gone. The Gemara continues from the Mishnah about Beis Chaburos, two groups in the house being Mitzarif, Tana, Em Yesh, Shamish, Beinehem, Shamish, Mitzarfon. If there's a Shamish, a waiter between them, between the two different groups, then the Shamish could also join the two groups together. So he said either if they can see each other, or if there's a waiter working between the two groups, that would also join the two groups together. In Mevarchin Alayayin, our Mishnah said that the wine is so strong that only once they add in water can they actually make a Bari Piagapen on the Yayin. Tana Rabbanan, Yayin Achelo Nasan Lesochel Mayim, Ein Mevarchin Allah, Bore Pri Agafen, Ela Bore Pri Ha'etz. Vin Not Lememenu Le Yadayin. That before you put water into the wine, it's not chashuv like wine. There are certain chashuv characteristics of wine. For example, it is chashuv, and therefore you make a hagafen instead of this thing, a ha'etz on grapes. And you also can't use it for netilas yadayim. You can't wash your hands with wine because it's inappropriate to do that with wine, which is a very chashuv beverage. But if you haven't diluted the wine yet, it's not considered wine anymore. So you're not going to make a hagafen. You're going to make a bray priya eitz, and you're allowed to wash your hands with that wine. It's not wine yet. It's like mei peros, it's like water. And if you'd be allowed to use that for netilas yadayim. But once you dilute it with water, now it has the status of wine. You're going to make a hagafen, and you can't use it for netilas yadayim because it's not either it's inappropriate for the wine. It's like bizui, or because it's like it's not water. You can't use non-water liquids for netilas yadayim. That's all Rabbi Eliezer. But Chachamim omrim benkach ubenkach mevarchin alav berpri hagafen ve'ein notlin hemenu liyadayim. The Chachamim say no. Even if it's undiluted, you're still going to make a hagafen, and you're still not going to be able to use it for netilas yadayim. It doesn't matter if it's diluted or not diluted. Either way, it has the status of wine. You're going to make a hagafen, and you can't use it for netilas yadayim because it's going to be like a hefset to the food. It's like you're ruining the food. If you have perfectly, you have great wine, to use that for netilas yadayim is a bizui. It's inappropriate and wasteful, and therefore you should not use the even undiluted wine. You should not be using that for netilas yadayim. Kiman azla. Hada Amar Shmuel Osa Adam Trach Kol Tracha Bepas. Who does Shmuel go like? Shmuel says the following, that you can use pas for whatever you want. Seemingly, he's not concerned for degrading bread. You can use it for your own personal needs. So the Gemara suggests, Kaman Rabbi Eliezer. Perhaps that goes like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer allowed you to use this undiluted wine for Natilas Yadayim. You're going to use the it's like fruit juice, like Meperos. You can use that for Natilas Yadayim, because Rabbi Eliezer is not concerned for Bizoy Ochlin, for food being disrespected. That's why like Shmuel, who says that you can use bread for all of your various needs. And we're going to say in a few more lines all the different halachos of degrading bread and disgracing bread. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Chanina, Mod Chachamim Eliezer Bekos Shel Bracha. In general, we said Chachamim hold that undiluted wine is the same as diluted wine. It's all the same. Even before you put in water to the wine, it still has the status of wine, and you can use that Mika Agafa, and you can't use Teilas Yadayim. But he's Moda. Sorry, the Chachamim are Moda by Kos Shel Bracha. You're gonna have a Kos for benching or for Kiddush or all these different things. She'em Nevarchin Alav Achitin L'Socho Mayim. You have to first dilute the wine before you use it for a Kos Shel Bracha. My Taima Amar Rav Oshia Ba'in on Mitzvah Menam Mufchar. You want to have the best Mitzvah, the most fit Mitzvah, and therefore, even a chachamim, who usually say that undiluted wine, before you pour in the water, it's still considered wine and still chashuv. When it comes to Kos Shel Bracha, we're going to be very, you should still dilute it first beforehand. Tosfos over here has a line which is very relevant to the halacha of using disposable cups for a kiddush. Tosfos asks the following question. Tosfos asks, we have said according to Chachamim that everybody agrees that all shittos agree you have to first dilute the wine before you use it for kiddush or Kos Shel Bracha, whatever Kos Shel Bracha you're going to use it for. And the Tosfos asks, but it says on next week's daf that a Kos Shel Bracha is allowed to be chai. Doesn't chai mean that it could even be raw, undiluted? Tosfos say no, chai doesn't mean raw, undiluted wine. When the Gemara says that the Kol Shel Bracha has to be chai, it's referring not to the liquid inside, it's referring to the physical cup that you use for Kiddush. It has to be chai, meaning that it has to be shalim. You can't have broken pieces off of your Kiddush cup, it has to be a completely shalim Kos. And Rav Moshe extends, I mean, not only does it have to be shalim and not broken apart, it has to be a chashuv Kos. And therefore, perhaps a disposable cup, like a paper cup or a plastic cup, would be inappropriate to be using for Kiddush. That's Rav Moshe bases it on Tosos and Daf Nun over here. Others, the Titz Eliezer says no, that Tosos say shalim, yeah, it can't be broken, but if you have a plastic cup that's not broken, then that's going to be totally okay. Even Rav Moshe says that's all you have, you're allowed to use a disposable cup. That's a machlokas, but by using a disposable cup for Kiddush. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara continues about bread, disgracing bread. Dalet Dvarim Ne'emir B'Pas, four things are said about bread. Ein manichin basar chai ala pas. You can't put uncooked meat on bread, because maybe the blood's going to spill on the bread, it's gonna ruin the bread. Also, ema avir and kos male alapas, you can't pass over a cup over bread because maybe it's gonna spill onto the bread. Vein zorkin esapas, you can't throw bread. Vein somchin esakara bepas, you can't place a plate on pas because maybe the food's gonna roll off the plate and it's gonna ruin the bread. All these halachos, you shouldn't do things that are going to be disgraceful to bread and ruin the bread. Amimar Marzutra Rav Ashi, karchu rift of ahari adadi. Amimar Zutra and Rav Ashi were all eating together, eating bread together. Ayasu lekamayu tamri verimoni. They got dates and pomegranates that were brought before them. And shakal marzutra, and he took one, and pasak lekameh de Rav Ashi distana. And marzutra threw in front of Rav Ashi distana. Maybe it's referring to the fruits from earlier. Rashi says it's referring to a piece of meat that he threw to him. But he threw to him a food. And it seems to be a bizui to throw food at the table. It seems to be inappropriate. Amarle lo sovar lamar la hadatanya ein zorkenes ha'ochlin. Don't you hold what it says? You can't throw food? No, hahiba pastanya. It doesn't say food. It says indorkan esa pas. You can't throw bread. I didn't throw bread. I threw meat. I threw fruit. That's not going to be a problem. Ah, the hatanya kishem she indorkan esa pas kach indorkan esa ochlin. But a different brisa says just like you can't throw bread, you also can't throw other foods. But a different person says that no, you are allowed to throw food. So it's very confusing. Are you allowed to only throw other foods, at non-bread foods? Can you not throw anything? Can you? Are the halachos true by all foods or only by bread? So ela lo kasha ha b'midi de mamis ha b'midi de lo mamis. Tomorrow has a very important chiluk. It depends if the food's going to get ruined when you throw it. You can't throw food if it's going to get ruined. But if it's not going to get ruined, then you're allowed to throw food.
Even bread.
That's the machlokas Rishonim. Rishonim have different opinions, but this chiluk, is that applying to all foods, or is that just for non-bread foods? So perhaps this chiluk is talking about only things that aren't bread. Bread you can never throw, and when it comes to other foods, you can throw it if it's not going to get disgusting. Or maybe even bread. Maybe even bread, the same rules apply. So the Rush says that bread is, Tos over here also, say bread is always a problem. You can never throw bread. Other foods, it depends if it's going to get ruined or if it's not going to get ruined. And the Rambam says, no, this line applies to everything, both bread and food, meaning even bread. If the bread's not going to get ruined and not going to get disgusting when you throw it, you'd be allowed to throw bread according to the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Tosfos that no, that bread, never throwing. Bread is always off limits, never throw bread. And for other foods, it depends if it's going to get ruined or not going to get ruined. The Pirmei Gadim points out an additional nafkamina, or it shouldn't be nafkamina actually, between these two opinions. The Pirmei Gadim points out that on Shabbos, all shittos agree you cannot throw bread because on Shabbos, the bread is for the mitzvah. It's a bizvei mitzvah to throw the bread. The bread's part of Yesudas Shabbos for Lechem Mishnah. There, everyone's going to agree you can't throw bread. That should be perhaps an even bigger problem, not just bizvei Oakland and throwing bread, but also a bizvei to the mitzvah.
Are we talking about throwing bread, meaning when we're giving it away?
Like, oh, here's a piece of challah. Oh. Boom. Uh-huh. Go along like that.
Okay.
But yeah, there's also.
I've seen that.
Yeah. I think there's like a minhag that the Ksav Sofer used to throw bread, and so they try to be melamed tzchus on those who do throw bread, but I don't think it's a recommended practice. But yeah, some people do that. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And there's also some. Some also discuss perhaps that when you throw away bread, not just throwing bread, throwing it, but also throwing away, but when you dispose of bread, you should perhaps also do it in a dignified way and put it into a bag before you put it into the garbage itself. Throwing it into the garbage would be a bizui to bread. Bread is so chashuv, you shouldn't do things like that to bread. So that's in the Sefer Bezosa Bracha. He quotes that some contemporary poskim hold of that as well. But I'm pretty sure that's not Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says don't throw bread. I think that treating bread nicely and putting it in the garbage in a separate bag is just along those same lines of treating bread respectfully and appropriately.
Not just Lechem
Mishnah? What? All types of bread, even not Lechem Mishnah, you definitely should not throw. Lechem Mishnah is an even bigger problem because it's a bizvei mitzvah. Tana Rabbanan, the Mark continues about treating bread, food inappropriately. Mamshichin yayin b'tzinoros lefnei chasan v'fnei kala v'zorkan lefneiem klayos ve'egozin b'mos hachama. So they have a chasen and kala, and they want it to be mesameach chasen and kala, so they want to throw fruit in front of them, because that's apparently a nice way to make people happy. You throw fruit in front of them.
Like to throw rice.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or throwing like the bags at the... at the Oprah in Bar Mitzvah. So they used to let wine flow through the tzinoros, the pipes in front of the chasen and kala. Rash says it wasn't a problem because they would catch the wine at the bottom of the pipes and then they drink it. It's a little gross. Or that also they would throw different types of nuts in front of the chasen and kala only in the summertime because it wouldn't get ruined on the floor. But not when it's in the wintertime when it's going to be rainy and it's going to be muddy and the floor is going to ruin it. Then you can't throw those various nuts. But they would not throw these cakes any time of year because it's going to get ruined. Should we stop here? Should we go to the next two dads? I think it's 45 minutes. We can stop here. I'm not good. I don't know. I'm torn. So this is Brachos Nafnun. We discussed the various Lashonos of Zimun. We spoke about the period Haba, not saying Ala Mazo, not saying Misha Chamishalo, and about saying Baruch Hu versus Nevarich, and what's the appropriate thing to say. We spoke about whether the Lashon should change when you're with 10 or 100 or 1,000 people and leaving weddings early. The Mishnah talks about not breaking apart into groups when you're in 3. You shouldn't break apart into less than 3. If you're with 10, you shouldn't break apart into less than 10. And we spoke about the various halachos of treating bread respectfully and not throwing bread and not being Mevaza Oakland.
Go ahead.